Good morning.
Good morning.
Certainly good to have everybody out today. We got the wrong side. It's overloaded today. Might throw me off. It's good to have you out today. And we have some visitors with us. We're members of the Rolling Hills Church of Christ in Cuba. I teach their Bible class on Thursday night. So they're the families here today represent the heart and soul of that church. And get to know them after services today. The title of the lesson is Arguing or Walking the Walk. That when it comes to sin in our lives, do we want to argue about it? Or do we want to walk where we need to walk? One's reality and one's not very good. And you'll notice in the outline, verse 6, 8, and 10 begin, if we say, you know, we can claim things, but where do you walk? If you notice verses, 1 John chapter 1, rather, verses 6 through 10, if you notice they all begin, if we, it's talking about us as Christians. If you notice chapter 2, verse 18 and 19, the situation in the church that John's addressing, children, it is the last hour. And just you've heard that Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists have arisen. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out in order that it might be shown that they all are not of us. Many people saying Jesus is not the Christ. Openly making converts, people have left. And they're claiming the people that stayed are wrong. So we're not talking about them. In 1 John 1. We're talking about the ones that stayed. We and us. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with God. You know, if we say we believe in God. God and me okay. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him. And yet walk in the darkness. We lie and do not practice the truth. So it's one thing to claim that you're a Christian. And say you have fellowship with God. But if you walk in the darkness, if you live your life in the darkness, that's a lie. The claim is false. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. And this is the message we've heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. That's what Jesus said. Jesus would never do wrong. Jesus would never go into beyond the will of God. God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. Now that's a problem for you and me. Because we know about darkness. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with God and yet walk in the darkness, God does not come out into the darkness. You have to go into the light to have fellowship with God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, real quick. It defines what light is to some degree. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You're not children of darkness anymore. You're the people of God. So you need to walk as if you're children of light. And the three things we ought to see in your life is what? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Truth matters. You don't care about truth? Yeah, you're walking in the darkness. You don't care about righteousness? That's that other world, that unrighteous world where evil goes on and no real concern about God and goodness. 1 John chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie, do not practice the truth. I mean, practicing the truth leads you to God. Not practicing the truth leads you where you're at. But if we're going to make the claim that we have fellowship with God, you know, the conflict comes because we know of our sinfulness. But the beautiful thing about walking where God walks is there's great benefit, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So if you walk in the light, is He Himself in the light? The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. All sin. You know, a couple of weeks ago we talked about practice. And it dawned on some people here in a greater way that God's looking at your practice. How often are you practicing righteousness versus practicing evil? If you're practicing righteousness 8 out of 10 times, that's your practice. If you're practicing evil 8 out of 10 times or 6 out of 10 times, your practice is evil. But if you're practicing righteousness, God counts you righteous, completely righteous. So if you walk in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses you of all sin. But why do you serve the Lord? Because you want to be blessed. You want to escape the fears and the guilt that you have. Walking in the light is the place where all sin is cleansed. So why wouldn't you want to walk in the light? Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth's not in us. If we say we have no sin, if you're claiming to be a Christian yet you're walking in the darkness, what are you saying? You're saying, I'm okay. I'm walking in the darkness, but I'm okay. Everything's fine with me and God. Yeah, I had a preacher call me this week, and this girl hadn't been there in a while. She's in her 30s, and you know, and he said, well, how you doing? She says, I'm doing okay. He says, well, I haven't seen you in a month in church. Where you been going? Oh, I've been going over to this other church. That even the guy who was named after wouldn't have nothing to do with it. And he says, why are you doing that? You know better than that. She says, well, they give you free tuition at their school if you place membership there. Yeah. But I'm okay. 1 John 1a. But if we say that we have no sin, none, we're deceiving ourselves. Oh, the devil, that's his goal. It's to make you think you're okay when you're not okay. In the 80s, a guy wrote a book and it was the big thing. I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. Boy, that was the ultimate self-deception. If you're not walking in the light, you're not okay. You ain't even close to being okay. You're deceiving yourself. Telling yourself you have no problem with God when you don't want anything to do with God. No, the only person you're fooling is you. Oh, in the 90s? Oh, the theme was, oh, the Bible says we don't judge. I won't judge you, you won't judge me, and we're still okay. Even though we don't want nothing to do with God. Oh, in the last decade? Yeah. The people, you know, I'm not really religious. Oh, but I'm spiritual. I do it my way. I don't want nothing to do with God, but I'm still okay. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. It's not there. If the truth, the purpose of the truth of God is to convince you, you need God. That you have a sin problem. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And if anybody's honest at all, what? There's an amen from everybody in the world. And it's not that there's not answers. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you walk in the light, to see Himself in the light, you can share in the things of God, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse you of all sins. But it's based on you being honest with yourself and with God. Verse 9, if we confess our sins. You know, if you can be honest and say, that's right, I've done wrong.
He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
When you confess your sins to God, you're asking Him to prove Himself true to His character, that He's righteous, that He's faithful. What does that mean? Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. That's the promise from God. I'll be merciful to their iniquities. If you walk in the light, see Himself in the light, the blood of Jesus will cleanse you of all your sins, if you can be honest. God has promised to be merciful to our iniquities. There should be no fear of God for the people honest of heart. And He says, I'll remember your sins no more. It's settled at that point. So when you confess your sins, you're asking God to be faithful to His promises. You're asking Him to do the right thing based on Hebrews 8:12. And you should expect Him to remember your sins no more. You should expect to be forgiven. And you also get cleansing. Lots of times we just kind of want the Lord, I feel bad about it, I'm guilty. If I get rid of this guilty feeling, me and you, Lord, me and you. But we don't want cleansing because we want to continue to do the same wrong later. We want to keep it in reserve. The total solution to your problem is forgiveness from God, who knows it's wrong, and from cleansing on your part. And so that you get both. Now, why wouldn't you want to confess your sins? I mean, you like the darkness. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word's not in us. Now, what we're saying here in verse 8 is we have not sinned. We have no sin in our life. Now we're arguing. If we say that we have not sinned, we're claiming we have no sin. We're claiming we have fellowship with God, yet we walk in the darkness. And so, let's point out a specific sin. And the person wants to argue whether it's right or wrong. Now, who makes the standards? Who makes the eternal standards by which every person will be judged? God. So, when you say you have not sinned in one situation, you're calling God a liar. Living over here in the darkness and claiming to have fellowship with God, yet walking in the darkness, doesn't make your ability to see the way out any clearer. And it does not help you see God any better. So you begin to say, I have no sin. No, I don't need God. I don't have no sin problem. I'm okay. Me and everybody else. And then when it comes down to it, that's not wrong. You start determining the standard of right and wrong. You're not doing the will of God. You're not trying to do the will of God. You're saying His standard's wrong. I think you have God's attention at that point. You're calling God a liar. And His Word's not in us. The purpose of His Word is to tell you it's wrong. What if everybody else tells you you're okay when you're not okay? And you get to the day of judgment and find out it was wrong the whole time. And Satan was using that person to tell you you were okay when you weren't okay. You know what hell's like? You're going to be mad at that person that told you for eternity. And every time you see them in hell, you're going to make it clear to them. And these other people are going to be doing the same thing because I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. God won't punish anybody. God's good. His Word's not in people who argue whether it's right or wrong. You're putting your whole eternal destiny on that position. And you know the honest truth about that? Chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. There is a way out in the truth.
you know, His Word's not in us. Notice what happens when His Word is in you. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. The reason I'm giving you instruction here is to keep from getting you in trouble with God. The goal is not to sin. And if you follow His Word, your practice will be righteousness. You will sin less and less if His Word's in you. And notice the next words. And if anyone sins, you know what's reality to the Apostle John? Yeah, you will sin. You're not perfect. I know it. You know it. Everybody else knows it. We're not perfect. It's not hopeless. It's a failure. It's a momentary failure for the Christian who's walking in the light. You walk in the light and you see yourself in a lot of things you don't want to see. You see them, but it gives you a chance to be honest and get rid of them out of your life. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You have somebody to defend you. You need a lawyer because it's still wrong, even though you're a Christian. But Jesus is your advocate. And He's the one that's going to do the right thing. Your faith in Him, He's going to stand up for you when you're wrong. Verse 2, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation is a long word, just simply means satisfaction. It means atonement. It means He paid the price. That allows God to be just and allow people who are guilty to be freed completely. And He Himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. The purpose of sending Jesus to earth and to suffer what He suffered and to die as a sinner was to give a chance for people to come out and be saved before it's too late. But if you walk in the light, the blood of His Son cleanses you from all sin. I mean, people that come out and walk in the light, they find cleansing of all their sins. Them and God have a direct relationship without any barriers. You know why you need an intercessor? Because you're in trouble. Look at Exodus chapter 8, second book in the Bible. Exodus chapter 8. Verse 8 through 15. I was originally going to do 8 through 10, but the verses below it teach important lessons. Exodus chapter 8, verse 8. Remember Pharaoh don't want to let God's people go? Moses keeps coming to him and plagues keep coming. If you have troubles in your life and they're God caused, you probably need to deal with God honestly about that point. They can get worse. Exodus chapter 8, verse 8. The Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that He'll remove the frogs from me and from my people, and I'll let the people go that they may sacrifice to their Lord. He wants to hold the people of God when God wants to let Him get His people free. He has a problem. But he understands Moses has a relationship with God. So he asked Moses to intercede, to entreat the Lord to get rid of the frogs. I mean, life's not good for Egypt. You've got frogs everywhere, every house, every room, every bed. You know, life's not good. It's all because that they won't do the will of God. Verse 9, and Moses said to Pharaoh, the honor is yours to tell me when shall I entreat for you and your servants and your people, that the frogs be destroyed from you and your houses, so that they may be left only in the Nile. Moses says, you know, it's an honor to talk to God for you. The point is, when do you want me to do it? It's always your choice. When do you want to do it? How long do you want this to go on? Verse 10,
And then he said, tomorrow. Oh, wow. He believes in Moses, and Moses has a relationship with God, and God is real. They have all kind of gods in Egypt, but their gods are helpless in this situation. Then he said, tomorrow. So he said, may it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. If God gets rid of the problems in your life, and you've had someone intercede for you, you need to know that God did it for you. If you sit here forgiven of your sins because you have belief in baptism, you need to know the Lord did it. I mean, the whole purpose of interceding, someone interceding on your behalf, is so that your life may get better. Whether it's dealing with sin problems or physical problems. And so, he prays. Verse 11, and the frogs will depart from you and your house and your servants and your people, and they'll be left only in the Nile. Well, that's good. That's where they belong. Verse 12. Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord concerning the frogs which he had inflicted upon Pharaoh. Verse 13. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. Boy, it's a good thing the Lord listens to you. If you say you have fellowship with God and yet walk in the darkness, no, we're not listening. He's listening to Moses and he's responding to Moses' prayer. Verse 13, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, the courts, and the fields. So they piled them in heaps, and the land became foul. Sometimes you do wrong. And you can get forgiveness. You can get someone praying or interceding between you and God so it stops. But it doesn't mean the consequences go away. Frogs were sent because the leader of the land would not let God's people go. And so God kept putting pressure on them. And so he prays that God gets rid of the frogs. So God kills the frogs. What are you going to do with the frogs? The stench piled up in piles. A reminder of what it is to go against God. Oh, God can make your life better. He can make it worse. Oh, you can call God a liar and say, I have not sinned. That verse don't say that. Oh, you can do it. I don't think life's going to get better for you if you're going to do that position. It's better to walk in the light and find forgiveness and everything be okay. Verse 15. But when Pharaoh saw there was relief, the plague wasn't getting worse. At least the frogs died. That's why when you sin, that you confess your sins because you're wanting relief from the guilt that plagues you. Now, if you're okay and you have no sin, don't lie to me, don't lie to God. You get to live with the frogs. He gets relief because Moses intercedes for him. That's the only reason he gets relief. If you and I walk in light, he himself is in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, which means we can pray to God through Jesus. Get relief from our problems. Get help at any time. Verse 15, but when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not listen to them as the Lord had said. To take the blessings of the Lord and turn back the way you were. Yeah, you can see where that's going. Verse 16, then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth that it may come gnats through all the land of Egypt. It doesn't matter what everybody else says. 1 John chapter 1, 6 through 10, if we can say we have fellowship with God and walk in the darkness and we don't have to practice the truth. We can walk in the light and be benefited. We can say that we have no sin. and deceive ourselves and keep telling ourselves we're okay when we're not okay. And then we can argue over whether that's sin or not. And we can call God a liar. And His Word's not in us, so we don't have no way out. And so John writes a letter, and the purpose is so that you may not sin. Boy, that's a great goal in life. You don't have any other goal. Is to strive to do what's right, what's good, to follow the truth. What's wrong with that? Oh, I'd rather follow lies, and I'd rather do evil, and truth don't matter. And somehow I have a relationship with God? And so we call God a liar. And all the time before the world began, God knew Adam and Eve would sin. He knew Satan would lead them into sin. He knew Satan would work. And Satan would stir up the people in the first century, the people of God, to jealousy against a pure and good and innocent man named Jesus, who did miracles, who raised the dead from the dead, people from the dead. You know, you got a guy raising people from the dead, you probably need to be on his good side. Unless you're not going to die. And unless you're not going to die guilty. Well, a lot of people don't have no use for God, and they're still okay. But that's them, and what about us? What are we going to do? We're going to be honest? Are we going to ask Jesus to intercede for us? It works, and even here in the Old Testament days, it works. God responds to someone who he listened to. You and I focus on our sins and we think we're hopeless. We need to focus on Jesus as our advocate. We know he'll listen to Jesus. Boy, having a good attitude, being pure of heart, what's that worth? I mean, do you have purpose in life? If you're walking in the light, are you better off in the light or in the darkness? And where will each one lead you? Yeah. Life's always going to be better. If you're ever going to sin, oh, it's always going to get better if you have an interceder. Somebody can intercess for you. They can plead on your behalf. That's what we have in Jesus. All we have to do is walk in the light. Goodness and righteousness and truth. This is my world. We begin to think in those terms. We don't, and evil starts coming there thinking, and it goes fast. Because that's not our goal. Our goal is to walk in the light. And if we do fail, we know the blood of Jesus, His Son, who died on the cross, will enable Him to cleanse us and to keep us restored. Adam and Eve sinned. You know, God said, His Word, that the day you eat, you should surely die. Satan said, that's absolutely not true. And he, will you buy that? And they did. And they all of a sudden, life changed for the worse. They were ashamed of themselves. First time in their existence, they felt guilty. And they had no way out. And they're hiding from God. They didn't think they were okay. God didn't think they were okay. And so God drove them out of the garden. And now they're out there laboring a cursed ground with thorns and thistles growing in it. There were no thorns and thistles in the Garden of Eden. Life changed for the worse. On the day of Pentecost, Peter accused the people of killing Jesus. The people who knew better, who claimed to have fellowship with God, yet obviously walking in the darkness because they killed the Son of God. Got led right into agreeing, kill the guy, crucify him. But there was the love of God in that same act, providing the way out for sinners. You and I are not perfect. We need to be honest with God. And we need to know that we have an advocate. And we need to walk in the light. Because there's no help for you out in the darkness. Need to respond anyway. Won't you come as we stand and sing?